Hey everybody, this is Nate.
And this is Justin.
From Pertinier Sandstone, and you're listening to Road to Blue Ox.
Our waiting days are finally over. My mind keeps pulling down the road. Oh yes, it's that time of year again. Get out of here, my friend. I want to take you with me when I go.
Oh, hey, Nate.
Hey, Justin, how you doing?
Oh, real good. How are you?
Good. I've been working to promo the new song that we just dropped this morning.
Oh, that Replacements tune, Can't Hardly Wait?
That's right, yeah.
Didn't we also record a video for that?
Sure did, live in studio while we were recording it. So that turned out pretty good. Glad to put that out to the world. Some new music, fresh content for the people.
What you got to do these days, you got to hustle that content. You got to hustle.
Never stop hustling.
It's fun to do the live video, like, you know, show everyone the entire behind the scenes while recording a song.
Yeah, and highlight our favorite studio in the world, Neon Brown. Shout out to Ryan Young for his cozy space and his accommodating nature. Ryan, we love you dearly.
Yes, sir. We do. Can't wait to get back and put out some new music soon. Our new album's not even grown any rust yet.
It's not even 6 months old. It's a baby.
I know it.
Well, that's good that you got that itch. I wrote a new song the other night.
All right. Good on you.
Yeah. It felt good.
Yeah, we're gearing up for a Western tour with Armchair Boogie, as we mentioned in the interview with Art Stevenson.
Yeah, we're going to be editing all of this fresh content while we're out on the road, and hopefully we can publish this soon thereafter, and hopefully some of you will have seen some of the shows or one of the shows that we're about to be playing. It's fun to talk about the future in the past tense.
Man, this is just prime podcasting, let me tell you.
You know it. Every time our banter is second to many.
Well, we appreciate all of you who tune in each episode.
We got to tell you about Blue Ox, some things that you ought to know. If you haven't secured your tickets, well, they're 90% gone.
Better jump on that quick.
I know. That's as of the 11th of April. We're 90% sold out. So most assuredly, we are going to be sold out. So if you don't want to miss out on the big 10-year anniversary celebration, then hop on that. Yeah, we also have some other exciting stuff going on. This year, we're connecting with Eau Claire Outdoors and offering tours of the region, which I believe includes a paddle down the river right through Eau Claire on the Chippewa River.
Justin, you're offering guiding a boat yourself?
I mean, if people wanted me to actually guide the tour of Eau Claire, they'd be woefully underwhelmed and disappointed.
You're going to be busy emceeing the main stage anyway, so.
But if you wanted to paddle around the Chippewa River, that is an option this year. Limited packages are on sale. Check the website. Yeah, it's a cool way to, if you're not from the region, to get out and get a feel for Eau Claire and the surrounding area and the whole river valley, which is really beautiful and worth checking out.
The tickets for the Blue Ox weekend packages are on sale currently. Limited spaces available, so jump on that as well.
We're also doing a plant identification tour through the festival grounds and the surrounding area, which is, for me, super interesting. I'm such a novice with that stuff, but I find it so fascinating. People who can ID plants just by looking at them and then tell you about the qualities of the plant and what role it serves in the ecosystem or the purpose it serves in the biome it exists. I don't know. I've always been envious of that ability. I don't know why my brain can't do it, but yeah, that'll be cool. You know, we got the Soul Sanctuary and the yoga going on again this year.
Well, I'm a big fan of forest bathing, you know, those slow nature walks where you just absorb the surroundings and with a heightened observation into the miniature world around you. So I'm really looking forward to that plant walk. I'm hoping to be able to do that. It's one of my favorite hobbies, actually. So
we also have announced the Backwoods Stage daytime lineup. We're about to release and will have released, once this is released, the late night stage lineup as well.
Yes, sir. It is going to be an amazing year at Blue Ox for our 10th year anniversary.
So many great artists, so much fun to be had. Make sure you get your tickets. This episode, we interviewed Wisconsin bluegrass royalty Art Stevenson Art's been on the scene for decades now. His band, Art Stevenson and High Water, have been around for 30 years and playing all over the country and the region and really holding down that traditional bluegrass in Wisconsin. If you ask any of the younger bands who they looked up to when they were coming up, Art Stevenson's surely going to be on the list.
Yep, he's doing a great deal to encourage and propagate bluegrass in the region.
He's a part of the Bluegrass and the Pines Festival. He has a great radio program on one of our favorite radio stations, WORT, out of Madison. Just a musical guy with musical talents and a musical mind. We're happy to have him finally at Blue Ox this year. Took us long enough.
Yeah, we've been trying, and finally it worked out. We got our schedules lined up and got him to join us on Saturday.
So if you want to hear some killer traditional bluegrass, make sure you check out Art Stevenson and High Water for their Saturday set. Why don't we listen to some Art Stevenson, huh, Nate?
Let's do it.
Yeah, and we'll follow that song up with our interview.
Let's listen to one from their album Like a River. This is one called Sawmill Town.
Here's your bone.
what's become typical fashion, it's not a Road to Blue Ox interview without some technical issues, but the listeners can't see you either, Art, so it's all good.
You know what the problem is? I did this stoned last time and it went real quick. Here I am straight. I need a beer or something. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, man.
Thanks for joining us. Yeah, looking forward to having you out at Blue Ox with us. Finally, after 10 years of throwing the festival, we get Wisconsin's preeminent bluegrasser himself, Art Stevenson, with his band.
Oh, my goodness. Thanks for the booking. My band is just tickled pink to be aboard with you guys, especially on the Saturday. It's just wonderful.
We've had you in our sights this whole while we've been involved with Blue Ox, and glad you can finally get there. And I feel like it's overdue, but it's so appropriate that you'll be there with your band. And like I said, you're known as Wisconsin's bluegrass royalty. So you've had your hands in the pail for quite a long while with Wisconsin bluegrass. And, you know, we're Minnesota boys. We're happy to be doing Blue Ox over in our friendly neighbor to the east. But maybe you can help us glean some insight into bluegrass in Wisconsin, kind of where you come from, your influences that were locally around you as you were coming into the music scene.
Sure. I can tell you that I got a notion to play bluegrass back in the 1970s. I was kind of looking for an alternative music to get into. You know, growing up when I did, I came out of pop music, which included wonderful rock and roll in the late 60s and early 70s, outstanding rock and roll.
Yeah.
And then it kind of went to disco. So I got a little bit disillusioned at the pop aspect of the music and started looking around for other things to do. You know, I'd been blowing harmonica and was, you know, working on a guitar and stuff, and I could sing and this and that. I ended up going to Mole Lake in 1976, the Mole Lake Bluegrass Festival. And all I can say, it was a mind blower for me. You know, at 18 years old, I hitchhiked up there.
Nice.
I got there just as Lester Flatt was finishing up his set. And so I got to hear him just that one time before he, you know, he passed away a few years after that. But I caught him as I was walking into the festival. And some of the other people that were on the show that weekend were Vassar Clements and his Hillbilly Jazz group.
Nice.
And, well, Bobby Smith and the boys from Shiloh, you know, they're kind of traditional bluegrass. And Doc Watson, oof. John Hartford,
oh.
And, you know, just these people you dream about hearing, you know.
Yeah.
And, I had a ball, and I went away after 3 days of being there with the music just ringing in my head. And I had this adventure where I hitchhiked. Supposedly, I was going to go home after that, you know, back to Stevens Point. And instead, we got a ride going north, me and my pal. And we ended up playing music up on the Lake Superior shorelines with these people that picked us up and took us home. And, you know, then after that, went home to Stevens Point. And I started working hard on guitar. And I got the Will the Circle Be Unbroken record, the 3-record set.
Yeah,
and started working on learning bluegrass. And back then there were a bunch of people playing around Wisconsin that, you know, some of them are still here today, like Piper Road Spring Band. You know those guys?
I don't think so.
Oh my God, they've been active since like 1973, and they're still at it with like two or three of the original members still in the band. So I knew them back then, and Grass Food and Lodging, who were spectacular bluegrass band based in Milwaukee, and of course Alive and Pickin' got started about that time, and Bruce King was in that band. And, you know, that's how I got to know Bruce, and he's working with me now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, well, I could go on and on.
Well, yeah, that's a great story, though. That's kind of like your origin story, your bluegrass origin story.
It's, you know, and it's so familiar to my own, actually, that I love hearing it. I think that, you know, just that common community experience that is formative as, you know, us in the folk music world, you know, that's a shared experience that I think really drives the canon of the music and keeps it grass-rooted, keeps it on the ground, and keeps, you know, nice people like yourself gravitating towards this community and keeping it rolling as well.
Was bluegrass popular in Wisconsin in the 70s and 80s? I mean, I know it's gone through its ups and downs for sure, maybe more so than other genres, but maybe you could speak to that a little.
Well, I think it was working fairly well for people in the 1970s. And I should have mentioned Mark Hembree, because he was in a band back then too. Mark, you know, played with Bill Monroe in the 80s, but back then he was playing with Monroe Doctrine, and they had a television show out of Green Bay, and they played bluegrass. And you could go to some of the bars around Stevens Point, for instance, where I grew up, and bluegrass bands would come through and play, like Mark Hembree's band and Monroe Doctrine, you know, and Piper Road. The first band I ever got on stage with was Piper Road. I got up and jammed with them on harmonica. I think I played Down Yonder.
Oh, nice.
So I think I can remember playing Down Yonder with those guys, and that was like in 1977. But yeah, so it was popular in the 1970s, and then it went through this doldrum period during the 1980s when, I don't know, music just took a turn for the pop end of things and rock and country and stuff like that. And so bluegrass really didn't have much of a chance against all of that. But a lot of us were working on it anyway, you know, and just continued to do our best playing.
Sure.
You know, and festivals like Mole Lake were still happening. You had a chance to see some of the best people in the business at Mole Lake and at a couple of other spots down south, like the Mequonago Festival. Union Grove had a festival for a while. I got to see the Country Gentlemen back then.
Oh,
and
nice.
Larry Sparks, you know, Larry Sparks was so cool and still is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's had its ups and downs, right, you know, throughout the years.
And you started this current iteration of your band, what, almost 30 years ago, right?
I did it. I started it in 1990. We had a residency at a local place in Waupaca County called Schmidt's Corners Tavern. And it was just way out there in the woods, you know, way out there in the sticks at a junction of two county highways.
Yeah.
And we were there for 3 years every Thursday night. It was free. And we just played our asses off. It was me and Stephanie on bass and Dale on banjo, Dale Reichert.
Yeah.
Just as a trio, you know. And other people would come sit in with us too, but we packed that place for 3 years straight every Thursday night. There were people parked up and down the highway, you know, and it was just so much fun.
Did they pay you?
Yeah, they did. They did, yeah.
That's good.
A little bit, you know. I mean, besides beer and Skittles, you know.
Well, what a way to cut your teeth and get a repertoire and have that experience to feel comfortable with your bandmates going forward as well. You can, like, weather the storm there.
Oh, my God. We worked so hard. We were driving all over the place. Like, I used to live out there in Waupaca County, me and Stephanie, when we were first going out before we were married. And just after getting the Thursday gig there, you know, the first of 3 years of it.
Yeah.
I got a teaching job in Stevens Point and we moved to Wood County. So then we had to drive all the way back every Thursday night to play. And we did for 3 years. And Dale was just devoted too. And, you know, so our formative years were spent, you know, in this bar playing every Thursday night and just playing whatever we wanted. If we wanted to do gospel, we did gospel. If we wanted to do country, we did country. You know, but the audience let us know what our hottest material was. And so we ended up singing a bunch of duets, me and Stephanie. And, you know, that's what we became known for, was this duet singing band with great banjo picking and eventually really great mandolin picking too, once we got Chris Silver on board and later on Bruce King, you know.
Do you remember, Molly, when you give me your right hand? You said if you ever married, then I would be your man. Oh, sailing around the ocean, sailing around the sea, I think handsome Molly, wherever she may be. Oh, sailing around the ocean, sailing around the sea, I think handsome Molly, wherever she may be.
That's great. It's also great that you've endured for so long as well.
You know what Del McCurry has said? He says, well, if you want to get known in this business, you got to stick with it for a long time and just try to do your best and you'll eventually get acknowledged. And that's absolutely true. I think, you know, as long as you play well and just keep your name out there as long as you possibly can, things are going to work out in your favor. And we're just blessed that it happened that way and we didn't have to stop, you know, and I'm never going to stop.
That's excellent.
Yeah, that's great, Mark.
I love any Del McCurry anecdotes are welcome on the ears.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you another one. In 1985, I was at a bluegrass festival with Del, and it was when his two boys were very young, and they were just learning to pick. And so they'd get up on stage and pick a little bit with him. But he had a great band back then, and he used to stay around and pick. You know, can you imagine that? Del McCurry at 2 in the morning, you know, at some camp, somebody's campfire, and just awesome. You know, Paul Silvius on banjo and John Glick on fiddle, and his brother Jerry McCurry played bass at that time. So these guys are just all horsing around, chewing tobacco and having a ball. So that was like the best, you know, backstage picking I've ever seen in my life. And I had my guitar, and my buddy's like, get out your guitar. And I'm like, hell no, I'm not going to get it out. Listen to these kids. Just sit here and listen to these guys, you know. And the next day, I found out Dell had a guitar for sale, and I got on his little motorhome to see it, you know, and played it. And he just kind of left me in the motorhome with it. Let me know what you think, you know. And I, I didn't have the cash. Listen to this. It was $800, and it was a mid-60s D-28, you know, Brazilian rosewood, $800, and I couldn't afford it. You know, I was like broke.
Wow.
So I had to walk away from that opportunity. But anyway, yeah, you know, I've been a Dell fan since, you know, college.
Oh, yeah. He's part of the reason we started this festival.
I'm wearing my Traveling McCurry's shirt right now, which I got at the show where we first met Jim and Mark Bischel in Denver with the inception of the Blue Ox. I hope it never wears out or will last as long as the Del McCurry band.
Somehow he gets younger with age.
His hair gets better too. It's incredible.
Well, he takes really good care of himself. My wife sat down with him one time, and you know, and she's always admired his singing, jumping up to tenor on the choruses and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. He's up there in the years, and so she asked him, well, how do you keep your voice in such great shape? And he goes, well, I'm gonna excuse myself pretty soon and go back to the bus. He'll not stay out and talk too long is
right
what she got from him on right. That, you know.
He's probably done drinking as well.
I would think so.
But he is playing on Saturday, so you'll be able to catch his set too.
Well, I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Do I get to stay overnight and sleep out?
I mean, that's up to you, Art.
You're certainly welcome to.
Yeah, I'd like to tent it, you know, somewhere in the back 40. You know, I'll just tent it anywhere you guys want to put me. My wife wants to come, you know, and so we'll just have a ball, I guess, you know.
Yeah. I will say there's not a whole lot of sleeping for us on Saturday night. So
we
cherish those remaining moments of the festival.
Oh, yeah.
And when we don't have to nurse our voices from getting blown out. Yeah, it's a hoot.
Hey, you know, I'm on the air from time to time down at WORT. I've got this show Back to the Country. So I've already been talking up Blue Ox and playing some of the people who are on it. And so.
Yeah, well, you appreciate that. And I actually, you provided the segue to my next question with that. like we as a band love community radio stations. And whenever we go out of town, we hit up whatever we can find in the markets. And WORT has been great to us and also just to all musicians coming through, you know, Wisconsin and the areas that people can hear WORT. Maybe you could talk a little bit about your history there and, you know, the joys of community radio.
Well, I love it. You know, Bill Malone, the country music historian, started this radio show Back to the Country back in 1997. And I, you know, I got to know Bill about that time living in Madison then. And so I've been a fan ever since. I had some radio experience at the college radio station in Stevens Point years ago. And so when I found out Bill Malone was retiring from doing the show every week, you know, I volunteered for it. And my sister-in-law was a member of the radio station at that time. I think she was working in finance. And so she's kind of put in a good word for me, and I got on the show, and I've been on it for 4 years. They give me carte blanche to play whatever kind of music I want. And, you know, I play all kinds of rural roots music, classic country, bluegrass, a lot of fiddle and banjo stuff. And I play music, the Americana music that resonates with the rural roots style. You know, I mean, it's a huge spectrum when you talk about Americana. I picked the rootsy, the most rootsy stuff and play that, you know. Recently, I played some Sierra Farrell. I know she's coming.
She'll be there Saturday as well.
And, you know, Cassie Velaza is just an awesome singer-songwriter. And so I've been playing some of her stuff, too. I've been on the show for 4 years. You know, I plan on staying a long, long time. And it's a community-based radio station. And I've gotten into the fundraising part of things. I've been a little more, you know, feeling confident about doing pledge drive shows, which can be kind of scary asking people for money for 3 hours. But we seem to be doing pretty well with that. And so...
Well, you got to do it. I mean...
Yes.
It is the...
Yeah, because it's non-commercial radio. You know, we play what we want. It's not top 40.
It's literally the backbone of community radio.
Yeah.
The community members stepping up. We just had... KFAI is our favorite in town here in Minneapolis and St. Paul. They just completed their pledge drive. I know they came up short, but you know, they always set the goal fairly high. But anybody listening to this, make sure you look up your favorite community radio station and send them 20, 30, 40, 50 bucks if you can. Because it goes a long way, and you know, it's all volunteer run, and it's always this great scraping by, you know. It's
like, yeah,
it's so admirable. It sucks that it has to happen, but it always works out, you know, so far.
Yeah, like a wing and a prayer.
I know, but it's always so uplifting when, because I help out during pledge drives on one of my favorite shows, Harold's House Party, you know, going in there and getting the calls and getting messages from people talking about how much it means to them. And it's just one of my favorite parts about being part of a musical community is also the radio that backs it all up. But I mean, and I know that WRT's sponsoring shows and inviting people in to do in studios and stuff like that. So it's just awesome. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a great radio station. It's kind of a flagship. Been on the air since 1975, kind of a trendsetter for other stations that have come since then. So I'm glad to be part of that.
Yeah, that's special.
Oh, that's great.
I can do my part to help festivals around the state, including Blue Ox and some of the other ones.
Maybe you could talk about Bluegrass and the Pines.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you're part of that as well, aren't you? You could talk about your involvement in that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, thank you. It's our 15th year this year.
And where is it? Where is it held and when?
It's held at the Rosholt Fairgrounds. And it's an old park, an old fair park up on top of a hill, nice breezy little spot there in Rosholt, Wisconsin, which is right in the center of the state in Portage County. And we're holding it on the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th of August this year. It's our 15th annual. We've got kind of a Minnesota invasion theme going on right now because like half of our roster, we got the High 48s coming in.
Ooh, yeah.
Becky Schlegel is coming in for a day. And we've got Monroe Crossing coming in. So it's really right. quite the Minnesota scene going on at our festival this particular year. And we're looking forward to it as always.
Yeah, 3 days camping, stuff like that.
Yep. We've got this big space to the east of the hill. It's kind of a big hay meadow. And that never quite fills up. It's like 20 acres. And so our attendance is, I don't know, maybe 800 or 900, you know. I don't know how I could make it any better than that or bigger than that, because we've got a tent that we put everybody under, you know, the show, all the people and sure. stuff like that. And so it's about the right size tent for that crowd right now. And we have a ball. A few years ago, we had 7 inches of rain over 3 days during the festival.
Oh, my gosh. You know,
they were like
that's lakes awful.
In people's campgrounds, you know. And, oh, you know, man. People walking around knee deep in water and stuff outside of their RVs. But it's just a hardy bunch of people. And a bunch of them come from Minnesota. You know, I know I've got the Lakes Festival going on the same weekend, but that's like 300 miles north of us, you know, up in northern Minnesota. And that's a traditional bluegrass festival as well. Sure. But sometimes the bands can work ours and work theirs, you know, and nice. So it works out for the bands.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That'd be a good bookend, you know, do Blue Ox in June and Bluegrass in the Pines in August and call it a summer.
Hey, we'll get you boys in there. I'm sure you could shake the dance floor up.
Oh, man, we'd love to.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in the future. Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
We like string band music. We like music that gets people dancing at our show. And I've got an area cleared under the tent for just dancing.
We love dancers.
Yeah.
I love those festival tent stages as well. There's a mood about it, a vibe that I really love.
Absolutely. Yeah. We get everybody tucked in there. If it's warm and hot, everybody's sweating together. Man, that's fun.
I like to run it like a county fair. You know, everybody brings their families and stuff, and you can have a beer if you want, you know.
Yeah.
And there's usually some good food to be had, and of course, the camping and all that, too. And the extracurricular activities, all the jamming and stuff around the campfires. It's just such a good time.
We can thank you for, you know, helping to carry on the tradition in our region for that type of event.
Yeah. What do you think defines our upper Midwest bluegrass scene anyway?
Well, we kind of do our own thing up here, don't we?
Sure do.
We do. I mean, there's all kinds of innovations going on based on, you know, the directions people want to go with their music. And, you know, the string band eruption that's happening now, that's been going on for 10 or 15 years with, you know, horseshoes and hand grenades and, you know, Pritnear, you guys, and, you know, and some of the more rock-sided groups that still feature banjo and fiddle and stuff like that. And those bands are just going all over the place. And they're on the charts, too.
Yeah,
they are, yeah.
You know, they're on the Billboard charts, and they're on the, you know, some of the bluegrass charts. And it's just amazing how this has taken off. You know, the popularity of it has grown, and there are more festivals around naturally than there were, you know, 20 or 30 years ago. There's all kinds of opportunities to play this music, whether it's traditional or progressive.
Yeah. Our friends Armchair Boogie are another good example of that fusion of...
They're a prime example, aren't they?
Yeah, that's who I thought of right away when you were talking about kind of doing what we want and the amalgamation of genres and styles, and then to put the energy that they have out into a crowd or a venue is special to watch as well.
They're an amazing band. I mean, they're highly technical with their instruments. It's really intricate. They're great.
Yeah, we're about to go out on the road with them for like 12 days. It's going to be a hoot.
Well, yeah, by the way, congratulations on your new record.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it'll probably be
too much fun. We end the tour in Seattle or Portland, Nate?
Portland.
And at that point, I'll be completely exhausted and probably 10 pounds heavier than when I left.
A little scratchier voice, a little more bags under your eyes. Some great stories to come home with.
Yeah, you guys have a wonderful tour, man. Go out and knock them dead.
Well, we'll do our best, Art. What do you got cooking in the meantime between now and Blue Ox?
Well, tomorrow I'm going over to Ladies of Bluegrass, and they've been running fundraisers. This is their 15th year, too.
Wow.
And you know, they've been running these fundraising festivals for cancer concerns for 15 years now, and they're wonderful people. You know, they've got Sage and Prairie Wildfire coming. There's a band from Colorado coming out here. Oh, the Stillhouse Junkies, they're coming out.
Oh, nice. God, they're so good.
Yeah. So, and my band's going to be there. And do you know Joe and Sue Kronig and the Handpicked Bluegrass?
I don't think so.
So my band plays kind of traditional grass, you know, that's what I'm told anyway. And when I look around for other trad grass players, they are definitely like my favorite band in Wisconsin.
Nice.
For that. And it's Joe and Sue Kronig, and they're called Handpicked Bluegrass, and they're just wonderful players.
Yeah, we got to look them up.
Yeah.
So they're on the bill and a couple other. Oh, Joe Huber. You guys know Joe Huber, don't you?
We do. We've known him for a real long time. Back when he was with 357. They came up the same time as we did, and we had him to Minnesota a few times to open up for us. And Joseph is doing some great songwriting, doing some great stuff these days.
Yes, he is.
Well, thanks for joining us, Art. Appreciate your time.
It's been great to visit with you guys. Thank you.
Thanks again for plugging us in the festival on WORT. We'll make sure and get out to see you at Blue Ox, but around Wisconsin as well. I looked at your schedule. Looks like you got a lot cooking. So
thank you. Yes.
We'll see you in the Pines.
I can't wait. Can't wait to do this. And after my set's all done, I'll come out and kick up some dust on the dance floor.
Sounds good. Looking forward to hanging with you out there, Art.
Can't wait for it.
Take care.
Bye now.
Thanks again for joining us. The Road to Blue Ox podcast. We love you all.
We're going to go out with one more tune from Art Stevenson and Highwater from the album Twilight. This is a great rendition of California Cotton Fields. See you all in the Pines.
My drifting memory goes back to the days of 43. I was just a child in Mama's arms. Daddy plowed the ground and prayed that someday we would leave this rundown mortgaged Oklahoma farm. Hey, then one night I heard my daddy saying to my mama that he had finally saved enough to go. California was his dream of paradise, for he had seen pictures in the magazine that told him so. California cotton fields, where labor camps are filled with worried men with broken dreams. California cotton fields, as close to wealth as daddy ever came. Owned was either sold or left behind, from my daddy's plow to the fruit that mama canned. Some folks came to say farewell and see what all we had to sell. Some just came to shake my daddy's hand. Hey, hey, the Model A was loaded down and California bound, and the change had looked just 4 days away. But the only change that I remembered seeing or my daddy was when his dark hair turned to silver gray. California cotton fields, where labor camps are filled with buried men with broken dreams. California cotton fields, as close to wealth as daddy ever came.
next 4 days wane. But the only change that I remember seeing or my daddy was when his dark hair turned silver gray. California cotton fields, where labor camps are filled with worried men with broken dreams. California cotton fields, as close to wealth as daddy ever came. As close to wealth as daddy ever came.